Section 2, Westward Bound, An American Story. During the 1800s, settlers poured into the frontier west of the Appalachians. The typical frontier family moved from place to place as the line of settlement pushed ever westward. Their home often consisted of a three-sided shack or a log cabin with a dirt floor and no windows or door. A pile of leaves in the loft of the cabin often served as a bed. Loneliness, poverty, and an almost primitive lifestyle were daily companions to many frontier people. Moving west. The first census, the official count of a population of the United States in 1790, revealed a population of nearly 4 million. Most of the Americans counted lived east of the Appalachian Mountains and within a few hundred miles of the Atlantic coast. Within a few decades, this changed. The number of settlers heading west increased by leaps and bounds. In 1811, a Pennsylvania resident reported seeing 236 wagons filled with people and their possessions on the road to Pittsburgh. A man in Newburgh, New York, counted 60 wagons rolling by in a single day. In 1820, just 30 years after the first census, the population of the United States had more than doubled to about 10 million people, with nearly 2 million living west of the Appalachians. Traveling west was not easy in the late 1790s and early 1800s. The 363-mile trip from New York City to Buffalo could take as long as 3 weeks. A pioneer family heading west with a wagon load of household goods faced hardship and danger along the way. Roads and turnpikes. The nation needed good inland roads for travel and for the shipment of goods. Private companies built many turnpikes or toll roads. The fees travelers paid to use those roads helped to pay for construction. Many of the roads had a base of crushed stone. In areas where the land was often muddy, companies built corduroy roads, consisting of logs laid side by side, like the ridges of corduroy cloth. When Ohio joined the Union in 1803, the new state asked the federal government to build a road to connect it with the East. In 1806, Congress approved funds for a national road to the West, and 5 years later agreed on the route. Because work on the road stopped during the War of 1812, the first section from Maryland to Western Virginia did not open until 1818. In later years, the national road reached Ohio and continued on to Vandalia, Illinois. Congress viewed the National Road as a military necessity, but it did not undertake other road-building projects. Geography. River travel. River travel had definite advantages over wagon and horse travel. It was far more comfortable than travel over the bumpy roads, and pioneers could load all their goods on river barges if they were heading downstream in the direction of the current. River travel had two problems, however. The first related to the geography of the eastern United States. Most major rivers in the region flowed in a north-south direction, not east to west, where most people and goods were headed. Second, traveling upstream by barge against the current was extremely difficult and slow. Steam engines were already being used in the 1780s and 1790s to power boats in quiet waters. Inventor James Rumsey equipped a small boat on the Potomac River with a steam engine. David Fitch, another inventor, built a steamboat that navigated the Delaware River. Neither boat, however, had enough power to withstand the strong currents and winds found in large rivers or open bodies of water. In 1802, Robert Livingston, a political and business leader, hired Robert Fulton to develop a steamboat with a powerful engine. Livingston wanted the steamboat to carry cargo and passengers up the Hudson River from New York City to Albany. In 1807, Fulton had his steamboat, the Clermont, ready for a trial. Powered by a newly designed engine, the Clermont made the 150-mile trip from New York to Albany in the unheard-of time of 32 hours. Using only sails, the trip would have taken 4 days. About 140 feet long and 14 feet wide, the Clermont offered great comforts to its passengers. They could sit or stroll about on deck, and at night they could relax in the sleeping compartments below deck. The engine was noisy, but its power provided a fairly smooth ride. Steamboats ushered in a new age in river travel. They greatly improved the transport of goods and passengers along major inland rivers. Shipping goods became cheaper and faster. Steamboats also contributed to the growth of river cities like Cincinnati and St. Louis. Reading check. Comparing. What advantages did steamboat travel have over wagon and horse travel? Canals. Although steamboats represented a great improvement in transportation, their routes depended on the existing river system. Steamboats could not effectively tie the eastern and western parts of the country together. In New York, business and government officials led by DeWitt Clinton came up with a plan to link New York City with the Great Lakes region. They would build a canal, an artificial waterway across New York State, connecting Albany on the Hudson River with Buffalo on Lake Erie. Building the Erie Canal. Thousands of laborers, many of them Irish immigrants, worked on the construction of the 363-mile Erie Canal. Along the canal, they built a series of locks, separate compartments where water levels were raised or lowered. Locks provided a way to raise and lower boats at places where canal levels changed. After more than 2 years of digging, the Erie Canal opened on October 26, 1825. Clinton boarded a barge in Buffalo and journeyed on the canal to New York City. As crowds cheered in New York, the officials poured water from Lake Erie into the Atlantic. The East and Midwest were joined. In its early years, the canal did not allow steamboats because their powerful engines could damage the earthen embankments along the canal. Instead, teams of mules or horses hauled the boats and barges. A two-horse team pulled a 100-ton barge about 24 miles in one day, astonishingly fast compared to travel by wagon. In the 1840s, the canal banks were reinforced to accommodate steam tugboats pulling barges. The success of the Erie Canal led to an explosion in canal building. By 1850, the United States had more than 3,600 miles of canals. Canals lowered the cost of shipping goods. They brought prosperity to the towns along their routes. Perhaps most importantly, they helped unite the growing country. Reading check. Identifying. What two cities did the Erie Canal connect? Western settlement. Americans moved westward in waves. The first wave began before the 1890s and led to the admission of four new states between 1791 and 1803, Vermont, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Ohio. A second wave of westward growth began between 1816 and 1821. Five new western states were created: Indiana, Illinois, Mississippi, Alabama, and Missouri. The new states reflected the dramatic growth of the region west of the Appalachians. Ohio, for example, had only 45,000 settlers in 1800. By 1820, it had 581,000. Pioneer families tended to settle in communities along the great rivers, such as the Ohio and the Mississippi, so that they could ship their crops to market. The expansion of canals, which crisscrossed the land in the 1820s and 1830s, allowed people to live farther away from the rivers. People also tended to settle with others from their home communities. Indiana, for example, was settled mainly by people from Kentucky and Tennessee, while Michigan's pioneers came mostly from New England. Western families often gathered together for social events. Men took part in sports such as wrestling. Women met for quilting and sewing parties. Both men and women participated in corn huskings, gatherings where farm families shared the work of stripping the husks from ears of corn. Life in the West did not include the conveniences of Eastern town life, but the pioneers had not come West to be pampered. They wanted to make a new life for themselves and their families. America's population continued to spread westward in the years ahead. Reading check. Identifying. What states were formed between 1791 and 1803? Social Studies Skill Builder. Reading a diagram. Why learn this skill? Suppose you buy a new bicycle and discover that you must assemble the parts before you can ride it. A diagram, or a drawing that shows how the parts fit together, would make this job much easier. Learning the skill. To read a diagram, follow these steps. Read the title to find out what the diagram shows. Read all labels carefully to clearly determine their meanings. Read the legend and identify symbols and colors used in the diagram. Look for numbers indicating a sequence of steps or arrows showing movement. Practicing the skill. Analyze the diagram of the Claremont, then answer the following questions. 1. What type of energy was used to power this ship? And 2. What was the purpose of the paddle wheels? applying the skill. Making a diagram. Draw a diagram showing either how to make macaroni and cheese or how to tie a pair of shoes. Label your diagram. Glencoe's Skill Builder Interactive Workbook CD-ROM Level 1 provides instruction and practice in key social studies skills.